Hi, I'm Sophia. I'm an addict and an alcoholic. I took off my glasses so I wouldn't see you guys staring at me. So I got sober July 2nd, 2012. And I have a sponsor, and I'm going through the traditions now, which is exciting. And I have some sponsees, and these are just things that I do to stay sober. That's how I am still here, why I'm still here. I have a home group. I have commitments. I need those things so that I stay accountable, because if I don't have a sponsor, if I don't have commitments, like, if I don't make plans, like, you know, it's, I come here because I have a commitment here, and at other meetings where I don't have commitments, I try to make plans with other people to meet them there, because otherwise it's very unlikely that I'll show up. So that's just what AA has taught me. So if you're new, those are some tricks or tools you can use. Also, if you're new, a really cool person named Earl once exemplified this for me. While he was speaking, he made it clear to the newcomer that I nor anyone here is any type of authority in AA. I'm just another drunk like you are. I have one day sober today, the same as you, aka it's one day at a time. So I think that's just really important for me, and I try to remember that on a daily basis, and I try to remind my sponsees of that, because I feel like sometimes it's, you know, I'm the biggest piece of shit in the world syndrome, biggest piece of shit in the center of the universe. So if I am continuing to compare myself to other people and think that you're above me and I'm below, or the reverse, I often sometimes have reverse pride and I think that I'm better than you and I have better spirituality. So that's all false. And it's important for me to remember that. And so it was very helpful for me when I was new to hear that there's no greater than in AA. We're all the same. So what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I like to think that, you know, if I didn't end up here when I did, I would have ended up here eventually. You know, I also am very grateful that I got all the using and drinking out of my system when I did. So before drugs and alcohol, it was sex and eating disorders for me, and that's just like me being honest here at the podium. And so those behaviors, like, were very painful, and so once I found drugs and alcohol, I thought I had arrived. It really felt like this, it was a miracle. You know, finally, it wasn't as visible that I was killing myself slowly, and it felt, like, really great at the same time. So it worked. It really did. Like, I mean, I had consequences right away. At 13 years old, like, I had a bad habit of sneaking out a lot. When I would just climb out of my window, and I knew the PIN number to my mom's debit card, and I would just withdraw cash from her account and pay for, like, $80 cabs from Yonkers to the city, because I had no concept of money. I was 13 years old, and I would do that to go meet up with a boy and get drunk at a bar, and then lose things, and or, like, fall and, like, break things, and then have to show up the next day and, like, pretend that I fell that morning so that my mom didn't, like, see me wake up with a broken face and wonder what happened. You know, it was just always very inconvenient as a child to, like, try and get away with using and drinking the way I wanted to. And that's another reason why I know I'm an alcoholic, is because, as they say, if I'm controlling my drinking, I'm not enjoying it. And if I'm enjoying it, I'm not controlling it. So if you identify with that, welcome. And it just progressed very quickly for me. I'm grateful to the other substances in my story because it accelerated the process for me. But you also don't have to have done drugs to belong here. It's a threefold disease described to me as our literature describes, as a physical malady, a spiritual malady, and a mental obsession. Forgive me. And so what I think is the most dangerous part is the mental obsession. The physical part is just the part where, like, and it took me years to really realize this, that, like, one the first drink gets you drunk. Like, that, like, didn't make sense in my mind because I'm like, I had plenty of times when I just had a few and could walk away, but there just wasn't something, like, it wasn't settled. Like, I knew in my gut that I was gonna go back out either the next day or that weekend. Like, I was constantly plotting. So that's what it was fucking like for so long. Like, it was just obsessed. Like, also before drugs and alcohol, there was this stupid game, and, like, there's normies who've played it, but they, I don't know if they felt the same way about that, like, pass out game. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, where, like, little middle schoolers would, like, hyperventilate and then, like, hold the glands of the, yeah, it was like insane. And I would fantasize about that stupid game and, like, feeling high and just those, like, 30 seconds of oblivion. And so when I discovered drugs and alcohol, it was just the same. It was just, like, exhausting. It was so hard to, like, pretend that I wanted, like, or that I could be normal and functioning. So eventually, like, I tried to do both at the same time. Like, you know, kudos to all the people who were able to get degrees while they were using. I have no idea how that was possible. For me, it was like, it was just one or the other. Like, eventually, that stopped working as my guise. I wanted, like, so desperately to be that, like, super smart pothead that just, like, didn't ever have to study and just, like, showed up to class and, like, said really deep, like, philosophical things, and, like, I had this all understanding. I mean, that's what I thought I was. That I knew everything there was to know about the world, and thus that is why I drank and used the way I did. You know, if only you understood my malady, then you would drink and use the way I use. Meanwhile, I'm just like a measly little 20, like, teen-year-old running around, like, causing havoc. And it's just, it's also a disease of perception. Like, along with those three things that I described, like, I just have no vision. I have tunnel vision. That's what I have. Like, I cannot see beyond my own experience, which is why I so desperately need a sponsor and, like, you guys to just help me see the truth. Because even today, like, 4 years in, I will convince myself that it's one way, and just not at all able to see the flip side or any other perspective at all. So I was just, yeah, I was like, also, if you've ever, like, been in the nude and drunk in public, you might also belong here. That happened to me, and that was a sign, and I, you know, I just thought, like, I just want to do what I want. You guys need to let me do it the way I want to do it, and, like, I'm on a college campus. It just doesn't, like, mix. Like, my world just started to collide. Right, so I couldn't earn a degree. I ended up getting kicked out of these schools. And then I also, it runs in the family. My dad's in AA as well. And when I was 15, he escorted me to a meeting. And I just walked out of there thinking, like, these poor people suffer from addiction. I wonder what that's like. And then, like, at 18, he gave me the, like, the offer. It sounded like an offer. He's like, I'll pull you out of school, withdraw, like, they won't see that they kicked you out if you go to rehab. I thought that sounded like just right. I just need to detox a little bit, just like, you know, rejuvenate the body. And then I wanted to be able to drink and use safely, which now I understand I'm just not capable of because I have alcoholism. And if that takes a while to accept. So then I ended up at rehab and they brought meetings there. And okay, so yeah, that's what happened. I just got in a lot of trouble. I resented people, especially in the beginning, who came from more than what I came from. You know, I always used to think, like, if only I had all the money that I needed to use and drink the way I wanted to, then, you know, I wouldn't have had to hustle the way I did and done the things that I had to do to get what I needed. And then I hear people who came from those places and they ended up here too. So that was great. Or it just, like, helped me feel like I belong here, and grateful for my own experience. And and also the people who would get away with things for a long time. I mean, it just took them a longer time to get here. So I'm also pretty grateful for that. I really resented the fact that I kept getting caught. I just thought that, like, I wasn't good at getting away with things. And now I see that really was God protecting me. And, yeah, I choose to see it that way today. So I ended up in rehab, and they brought the message of AA there. And that was the first time I heard people talk about always wanting to run away. If I could, I would have just, like, been running, like, nonstop, just constantly, like, never in one place. I never wanted to stay still. I just wanted to keep running away from everything, like, maybe stop once in a while and enjoy, like, a drink or a drug, and then just keep running away from, like, what I had just caused behind me. And people said things like, egomaniac with the inferiority complex, and I thought that was, like, me to a T. I thought, yeah, I mean, it's what I talked about in the beginning about, like, what I get to do here in AA is become right-sized. You know, this is a disease of extreme selfishness and self-centeredness, and, like, I really have to believe that and understand that selfishness and self-centeredness can manifest in many different ways. Like, you can be an asshole, sure, or you can just, like, isolate. That's also very selfish and self-centered. And, you know, especially if there's people in your life that love you and that care about you, that's a very painful thing to watch, for someone to watch that happen to someone, to a loved one. And I didn't realize that at all, nor did I care. In fact, I really thought that if I died, I would have just been it would have been a relief of a burden for a lot of people. And that's just sick. That's, like, you know, and for me, I if you're new, like, it's not all about you. And I have to remember that it's not all about me. And sometimes that keeps me coming back too. Like, I show up for my friends and for other people, but, like, ultimately, I know that it makes me feel happily and usefully whole in a way I've never known before. So it works. So that happened. I heard the message of AA, and I started to get really freaked out. And I'm like, shit, like, what if all my problems are actually just alcoholism? Like, alcoholism, like, sounded like this big. And I was like, no, my problems are like, so much bigger than that. Like, you can't just tell me that it's, like, just alcoholism. And so I was really offended by that. And then I left there, and I couldn't stay sober. I used while I was in rehab. Some girl was like, oh, you've never tried opiates? Suboxone will get you fucked up. And I was like, sounds. And then, like, it was, like, the second to last day before I left. And I thought, I'm like, this kind of, like, looks like addict behavior. I would go to meetings, and, like, I was going to outpatient, so, you know, you don't have to do those things either to stay sober. There's people who have been able to get sober just through AA, and that's, like, that's also a miracle. I went to outpatient, and the piss test really helped me. That was just Well, kind of, not really. I started smoking that fake weed shit, actually, so that it wouldn't show up. So, yeah, because I was taking the... I was being drug tested, I would just, like, raid the medicine cabinet and, like, take things. And so I left rehab in February of 2012, and my sobriety date is in July. So it took me that amount of time to just, like, you know, you keep coming to meetings and you're not staying sober, eventually one of those two will stop. And thank God for me, it was latter. And so you know, whatever it is that you're up to, just keep coming. Just don't stop coming, please. And then I got a sponsor, and she was not the guru, like levitating angel that I wanted. She was just a human. And so despite being disappointed about that, I realized that I needed not just my sponsor, but the entire fellowship of AA. And so to compensate for my resentment of her not being like a superhuman, I would reach out to a lot of other women and call them and cry and ask them when the pain would stop. A lot of memories came back when I first got sober, like a lot of things that I didn't notice were happening when I was using and drinking, like just came back, like the sensations, like, you know, there's like a real thing called post-acute withdrawal syndrome. I'm not a doctor, but you know, there's your body is definitely going through like a chemical shift, and it's like just sobering up. That is a process in and of itself. So grant yourself that if you're new. It's like really important to remember that, and it can take years. So I need to remember that too, especially like even once my body returns to some like to homeostasis, to some form of like balance, like still like emotions and memories like still come back, you know, like years of that shit does not, it takes a while to like to recover. That's why it's called recovery. So all of that was happening, and I would call and I would sob and I would ask them how long it was going to take to get over my ex and when would I stop thinking about this, and they would just congratulate me and say, "You sound great." And I was like, "What the fuck?" And I just kept doing that, and like I'm really grateful that these rooms have been here for me to look ugly and to like not be cute and just to cry and to snot and whatever it is that I need to go through. AA is the safest place I've ever found. I mean, I don't think I have any other place in the world that's like this. I'm not a part of a church or a religious fellowship like that, so this is that for me, and it really works in that way. So what it's like now, I have acceptance to some degree, at least, you know, if I don't feel like I'm in acceptance when something happens, I have tools, and I've been through the work to know what it looks like to get to acceptance, and for me that's freedom. So like freedom looks like, first and foremost, like freedom from drugs and alcohol is like something I never thought I even wanted. You know, I thought drugs and alcohol were my freedom. I thought they were my gateway to heaven. They were how I connected to a higher power, really. Like, I felt like spiritual when I was intoxicated. And then when I got sober, I rocket into the fourth dimension. It's like, I mean, it's not like, I love this phrase, I'm not shooting rainbows out of my ass, but it's just a lot better. Like, firstly, like, I don't have to drink or use, you know, and it talks in our literature that I don't have to ward off from it either. Like, if I have sufficient reason, I can go to a bar, like, for a birthday or whatever, and I stay away from it like as if it were a hot flame, right? It doesn't appeal to me at all. I don't see, and the greatest part about it is that like non-alcoholics don't give a fuck. They don't care. And like, I mean, and sometimes it's really interesting if I'm ever in a social situation where someone is like very much obsessing over me not drinking, it's just a kind of like, I wonder what your relationship to alcohol is like. And because that's very, very rare that that ever happens. And like, that's something that I wouldn't have even known was a thing if I didn't get sober. I would have been that one like freaking out if any, no, I didn't even care if people were drinking. I was just busy getting fucked up myself. So, so those are just like tiny things, tiny gifts of like, so freedom from drugs and alcohol is the greatest gift. I never even thought I wanted. And then like freedom from the bondage of self is, that's like that next level shit. That's like, if I'm working on my program and I'm like, do the fucking steps, people. I don't like, if you're here, I don't know. It's just, I didn't do a great job. Like there's no perfect way to do the steps. And like different sponsors do it differently. I just kind of did it. I decided to accept that I was an alcoholic. And then like the higher power stuff, like, is it odd or is it God? I tried to have like a different perspective on coincidences going on in my life. A great one for me in the beginning, especially like with the whole emotions and the sobering up process, was like, rejection is God's protection. And, you know, all those corny things, like I choose to accept them and not fight them because they just help me. And just to have a positive outlook on life. Because deep down, like even while I was drinking and using, like I just wanted to be a good person. I just wanted to be a good fucking person. I wanted to like, I knew I had value. I just couldn't like reach. Sophia has so much potential, and like I was sick of hearing that, and like not that any of that really measures who I am, but I feel that today like I can aspire to things, and I actually have a chance at getting to that. So currently, I'm still enrolled in school. I'll graduate next year. I'll be an undergrad for 7 fucking years. People, like, don't worry about it. Take your time. If you're doing school, maybe you're not doing school. There, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's just the case for me. That was something that I valued and I found important. And like, I learned how not to judge myself because I come here and I hear all different kinds of stories and not people coming from anywhere where. We're a group of people that would otherwise not mix, and I love that so much. You guys teach. I've learned more in AA than anywhere else, I think. So essentially, like the message that I hope I've given to the newcomer today is just to give yourself a chance. You don't have to be perfect at this. There's no way to be perfect at this. We are not saints. We just wish to grow along spiritual lines. And like, I have to repeat these things for me. Like, these are things that I've heard, like, over and over and over again for 4 years, and still some of it is still, like, super ambiguous to me and doesn't make sense, but it's a repetitious program for that reason. There's a lot to be gained here. And like, the biggest is just the freedom from the bondage of self and the, you know, I think like we all come here because we come from dark places and we know like loneliness, like way too well. And so there's freedom from that. And if you're experiencing that today, like I still get really fucking sad sometimes. And I have people that I can be honest with about that. And yeah, like I'm just learning how to, I'm still, like, even today, I hate feeling sometimes. It, like, sometimes I think it might, like, actually kill me. But at least, like, I can say that out loud, and that's still a step in the right direction. So, I don't know how I'm doing on time.
Yeah, we're getting close to the water.
Close to the water. Can I just thank you all for being here and letting me share. Yeah.